Hello, my friend. This will be the third and the last part in this series of Hearing God. We've taken time to read through the sections that we've gone over before, the stories behind them, and a hope, an idea is forming in you, or the belief is forming in you. That lets you know that God is with us. He desires to talk to us. He desires to lead us. Because without that leadership, we'll all be doing our own thing, like some of us have been doing. But in order to do the will of God on this earth, we have to know what He wants. And we find His instructions, basically in the Word of God itself, letting us know about God and the people that He's dealt with throughout the history. We also find in His Word how to live our lives. We also find in the Word how to listen to God and through what avenues He speaks through. Now, all of this entails on keeping your eyes open, being of sober mind, basically, is what the scripture says. Always looking out in things and in people and in situations, God speaking to you. Now, I know our lives can get hectic, but as you start to slow down and let life take care of itself and you follow God, you start to be attuned, or you start to get attuned to the rhythms of God. You know, there's an underlying wavelength or rhythm behind everything. Basically, whenever you seek God, you attune yourself to that. You attune yourself to the will of God. You attune yourself to the leadings and the nudges of the Holy Spirit. You become sensitive to that over time. And like I said before, it's not a quick thing. It's like a child walking. And that's a perfect example. You know, when we first become Christians, we crawl, basically like babies. And then, you know, we grab a hold of precepts and ideas, and we learn how to stand up. First, we're a little bit shaky. And then with time, we take steps. Baby steps is fine. But the most important thing is we take steps. And then after a certain time, we look back and we're walking. You know, and then some of us are running. Even. But the thing is, it takes time. This development that is going on inside of you is going on. We just have to let it develop. We have to trust that it is developing. We have to trust that God is working in us to will and to do for His good pleasure. And we have to want to do that. We have to want to obey that. And it is then when we find that balance in life to where we are walking with God and we know what God wants because we hear Him. Here we're picking up in James. Yeah, the Old Testament for a little bit and going to James. Then we're going to go to chapter 4, and we're going to verse 3, and I read to 5. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. Here, I'm going to read on here. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's a very good thing here to underline this verse. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Here is a very important thing to remember, that when we come to God, we come with humility. We come knowing that we are nothing. We come knowing that we are just living in a pile of sinful flesh. We don't know, naturally, we don't know, you know, how to follow God. But the more we humble ourselves to God's will, the more we bend our will to recognize God as the leader, the better it is for us. When we resist the devil, he will flee. But first we have to submit to God in order for that to happen. When we are no longer living according to the flesh, it means according to the ways of the world, the way we once were, seeking after things, when we change our direction and follow after God and attune our will to his will, then when we desire things, he will make it happen for us, because he gets the glory out of it. And here James is talking about people asking things of God that do not have the right spirit. You know, they aren't asking for the right things, because they're fleshly. They still think in earthly ways. You know, they ask for things that would make them better. They ask for things that will lift them up. We know that God loves us. Okay, that's a given. We know that, as we read through the gospel, that God gives us our daily bread. You know, he gives us food. He gives us clothing. You know, just the daily life things that we need to survive, God will give to us. Now, anything above that, anything more than that, is where it has to be weighed out. You know, is it serving me? Or is it serving God? Is this serving my desires to, I don't know, lift up myself? Or will this not only help me, get me stronger, and make me happy, but I'll be able to bless other people, basically? A lot of people ask for, you know, God, please, please let me win the lottery. Just this once, I will give to the churches. You know, I will help your saints. You know, I will give to the orphans and all this stuff. Well, just maybe God doesn't want it to be that way. Just maybe God wants those people that you're thinking that will be blessed by you giving them money. You know, God wants them to depend on him for those things. Or just maybe God knows that type of rush of material wealth will be a detriment to your spiritual walk with him, where you won't be, or we won't be, as apt to search him out for things. Because first, we will try to buy it. to rectify the situation. Or we'll try to buy someone to help us, or pay someone to help us with the situation. Now, I'm not saying that rich people are bad, or that God, you know, their heart isn't on God. I'm just saying for the majority of us, material wealth is not a good tool, basically, because it doesn't give God the glory that he deserves. When we need something, I want God to come through, because that will build up your faith. And then once your faith is built up, yeah, God provided that for me in this miraculous way. I'm totally blown away how he provided that for me. You know, I needed that. And he gave it to me. You know, just in the nick of time when I really needed it. Or God did this for me. How God caused that to happen. That builds your faith. That gets you closer to God. Which is the number one thing for us being here. Is for the relationship with God. God wants us to know him. God wants us to desire him. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So it's okay to have riches or whatever. It's fine. But where's your heart? Where's your heart in that? Who are you seeking in that? And this is what James is getting at. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. It's your motives. It's the inside, your unction, that thing where your thoughts are sparked from. That has to be focused on God. You understand? When it comes to your thoughts, it's too late. It's the motives behind the thought. Where God is at. If that's shining on God, if that's turned toward God, then nothing is wrong. Everything is for us in that regard. But if your motives aren't turned toward God, then it's nothing but a millstone around your neck. It's just going to drag you down. Okay, let's go to Leviticus, and we're going to go to chapter 19. Here is Moses. He has taken the Israelites out of Egypt, and right now God has given Moses the laws that the Israelites are to follow. Basically, it's giving them the covenant. This is where Moses turns up the Ten Commandments, basically. Even though there's more than 600 and some laws that the Israelites has to follow, I guess the Ten Commandments are the most famous for everyone else. So, the Lord is speaking to Moses. And we're not going to read all of this. You can read through this when you have time. But I just wanted to show you the detail. Just the detail of God's thoughts towards us. The detail of God's holiness. You know how sinful our flesh is. How unnatural it is for us to follow God. You know, that he has to detail of the Israelites' very lives, you know, to such a point to where I'm sure they probably thought this was oppressive, you know, to follow all of the laws of God. But, you know, that's God's righteousness. And Jesus came, and he fulfilled this. He fulfilled this law. He followed the law. He was a perfect man. That's why he's able to handle our sin, because he was perfect before God. You know, he had to be perfect before God in order to basically bust through the sin wall so he could take all of the world's sin and bust through it and take on God's wrath. He had to be perfect in order for him to do all that. But the reason, you know, that's another, you know, lesson way down the road. But the reason why we come here is just a detail of God speaking to Moses about the things that he wants his people to do. I thought that was awesome, because this really reveals what God thinks about our flesh, what God thinks about our interactions. Okay, we're going to move along here, because I know we're 20 minutes, so probably up right now, so we just want to finish this up in this lesson. We're going to go through Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in a square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. And it almost sums it up. You know, listen to God. He has all wisdom and knowledge. He's given us the Spirit. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. I mean, come on. He's given us Himself. Everything that we need, He's given it to us. That's all we have to do is turn that key, open the door, and just receive it. We have to stop what we're doing in our lives and turn to God, turn our hearts to God, and just lay down and listen and be willing to obey. He's a good God. He loves us. He's merciful to us. But there are consequences if we don't. Those people who don't listen to Christ